Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I was meditating this week in prayer, thinking about, as he said just now, we failed God, and who had failed God, and how many. And the voice of the Lord spoke to me, and I cried out, I said, Lord, I'm not above anybody on the face of the earth, black, white, any other color. And the Spirit said to me, he said, you're above one class of people. And I just marveled. You're above one class of people, and you are too. There's only one class of people that you're above today, you're ahead of. That's your enemies. You're ahead of every enemy that you have today. You know what I'm talking about?
If you're right with God.
If you're right with God, you're ahead of every enemy you have. And you know, that hurt me in here, because sometimes we have enemies that we love. Yeah. And enemies that we try to appreciate. But don't you worry, you are too. You're ahead of everybody in the world that's against you, and nobody against you can hurt you. Their prayers are no good.
That's right.
Their gossip's no good. And their lives are no good. Just floating around in space. Praise God. I thought of many things when the brothers here was talking about the wonderful meetings we used to have up the other house. And where is everybody and what's happened?
Praise God.
I don't know how many failed God. I am not the judge. I don't know who did and who didn't, but I know one thing. It was somebody close enough to God to hold on to me in my faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because one God had one person in this vicinity was close enough to God to look through it all and hold on to me and wouldn't let me go in prayer. And that's this Edna. When I see her, that's the first thing I want to tell her. I told her before she left, and I'm going to tell her to see her. Yeah, I'm coming. Well, that's the promise I made her for the breath left her body. I was going to try to bring every one of her children I could. Especially the ones who started off. I had thought a hold on them. I was going to try to bring them all. And not only them, but the nephews and the nieces. Glory to God. Yeah, whosoever will. And remember this today. It's not what you've been. It's not the failures you've made. If you stand or stare, you're going down.
That's right.
It's where you are today and where you're going now. And how it is with you, right?
Praise God.
Yesterday's joy can carry you through. Yesterday's sorrow.
That's right.
Drag you down. That's right.
It's where you stand today and how you aim to go. I remember once in prayer, a number of years ago, even before the children were born.
Praise God.
I was down praying and the faces of the people we were with would come before me and I'd try to talk and everyone would shake his head. He wouldn't understand me. And after a while, I saw Sister Edna walk up. And she walked up and looked at me and I looked at her. I turned, I saw the face of the Lord. I said, Jesus talked to her for me. And when he finished talking to her, I saw this in the vision. She smiled and walked on away. And that day on, we were perfect tune. So I just said, well, she wasn't positive enough. And she didn't endorse wrong. No, she was close enough to God.
She loved everybody.
Hallelujah. She loved everybody so much.
That's it.
That no matter who you were and where you were going, she'd never turn you loose.
Exactly.
The only way you get clear of her is turn her.
Amen.
And I was that close to God, I couldn't let go. Hallelujah. So I think it's wonderful today to meet here.
Praise the Lord.
Though she's not here and we don't see her, I don't doubt what in spirit that she's here today. She possibly where she's the one that said, you remember the things? Well, you're not going to have less wisdom there than you have here. Do we better stay here? I think so. I think that man that was in there, Jesus saw and told about in the Bible. He knew what was going on back home and he hadn't even made it. He was on the other side. He had failed and he knew his brothers where they were.
Amen.
May God help us until, I say, 1 minute, even a half a minute in death, people could just come back. It'd be a different life, different world. So let's go from here. Let's forget yesterday. Don't live on your reputation, whether it's bad or good. People try to live on their reputation of goodness. That don't carry.
That's right.
It's where you're going now and how you're going to be today and tomorrow. And I'm not no enemy to anybody. I love everybody. If I see a person's failing God, they've done no more, brother, than what I've done, you've done. So why should we be anybody's enemy? We got to be friends to everybody, because the fact you're enemy to them means you can't help them.
Amen.
The Lord won't hear them. I told some friends of mine one time, they turned to be enemies. I said, I have no fear of you now, because you can't help me now.
No.
There was a time that they got on their knees,
yes.
And it made them miserable, but they couldn't do it then. So don't worry about those. Just worry that you can be the light to this age. Now the scripture says that the gospel had to be preached in all the world. And it had a beginning place.
At Jerusalem.
John didn't start it off because he didn't preach in Jerusalem. He wasn't preaching the kingdom of God. He just said it's near, it's coming, but he couldn't preach it. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, which is near. He couldn't preach it. Neither one of them could preach the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God hadn't been given to man. He went up on the mountain, he met Moses and Elijah, and they turned all the authority they had, the law and the prophets, all the authority they had to put in his hands, and he came back. But the Bible says a man's testimony has to be signed in his own blood in his case. Then it takes the death of the testator. And before the kingdom of God could come, Jesus had to pour out his blood. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And he said this kingdom of the gospel will be preached in all the world in the beginning of Jerusalem. Not where I preached, not where John's preached, but where Peter preached. And it said that they would be able to do something that he wasn't able to do when he was on earth, and it'd be greater than what he did on earth. Now there's nothing in the world any greater than what Jesus did on earth except preach the first gospel message and let 120 receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And that's the only way you'll ever get into it. For one body are we all baptized in one body.
Yes.
And then we come to be the church, the body of Christ, and all this mitt flopping and handshaking, they can have every bit of it. I know how I got to be a member. I know how you got to be a member. And I know how the whole rest is going to get to be a member. And shaking hands with the preacher won't make you anything in the world. It won't make you anything that God is satisfied with.
Amen.
So the kingdom had to be preached first, the beginning in Jerusalem, and it first had to be preached to the Jews. And here's the way Peter delivered a message to the Jews. Repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive what?
The gift of the Holy Ghost.
That's the kingdom of God. Joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, and that's the kingdom. Then he said it next would be preached to where? It'd be preached
all
to
Gentiles.
No, that's not the next one. That's the third
thing. Samarians.
To the Samarians. And they were half Jews and half Gentiles.
Yeah.
So they went down there, and Peter heard they were accepting, and he went down, and he went down and found a great multitude, and they had believed, the Bible said.
Yes.
And they had been baptized, it said. And he laid his hands on them, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They came into the kingdom of God. And then was another group he said would come, the Gentiles. And that was supposed to be 3.5 years after the Lord's crucifixion. So 3.5 years later, Peter goes down to Cornelius to the Gentiles. And while he was preaching to him of repentance and telling what Jesus had done, by the time he used the words, from your sins, amen, the Spirit of God fell on Cornelius, the first Gentile, and he and his household and all of his near relatives were all baptized with the Holy Ghost. And Peter looked up and said, well, he's already beat me to it.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance to say repent and be baptized in water and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I didn't get to it. But he said he remembered something at that time when he heard them speaking. He remembered the words of the Lord, how the Lord did say that if John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It showed the Gentiles had never been under the laws. The Samaritans had, and the Jews had been under it. And they kept the feast days, they kept circumcision, they kept water baptism, and all the things that went with the Jews. But the Gentiles didn't have to have that. Paul said to us, there is one baptism. As one faith, as one Lord, amen, and one Savior, which is Jesus Christ. And by this one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And now, whether it's neither Jew nor Gentile or Greek or anything else since then, it's all now. When the Jewish church feathered out into the Gentile age, now it's whosoever will, black, white, brown, red, or whoever they are, they can come and enter this body, but you'll never get in it any other way. And you'll never recognize it any other way. When you get into it, there'll be a barrier there. There's an alien there. When a person, the power of God hits an individual, they begin to speak another language, it separates you. It separates you from error. It separates
Amen.
You from those who are living in error. It separates you from every so-called church upon the face of the earth, except God's Pentecostal people, and they haven't known any better than to break up in divisions and schisms, which is a great sin according to the Scriptures. They've broken up in isms and schisms and so forth until they scattered the flock of God.
Amen.
And it's to be scattered in the last days. But God is going to anoint and raise up
yes,
a prophet. And when they hear His voice, they're going to come out, shake out from under those things. And they're going to come because that which is most esteemed highly upon the face of the earth today is abomination in the sight of God. And that's false religion. It's always been esteemed. It's always raised is the, you can go anywhere and commit a crime, but you go down and disturb some of these organized churches, amen, where they don't know anything about God, and you just will be, get you a bed in jail. You go in there. Why, it's highest esteemed thing up in Washington, it's highly esteemed. The people at Carrick have great records. They can ride in parades. They can be the head of this. Yeah. They can be this. They can be the other. But there's only one thing will make them condescend of men of low estate. And that is to get the power of God onto them.
Amen.
Paul said that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now God's got a lot of people that they're ashamed of. Say, well, what is it they're ashamed of? The Bible? No, it's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. Paul said that gospel is the power of God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And he said it was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. The gospel is the power of God, and only the people in Pentecost have it. They're the only ones that have the gospel. And the gospel of the kingdom has got to go in all the world. And now we find our Pentecostal brethren are going down and not preaching this. They're not stressing the kingdom of God. They're preaching saved. And they don't know more what that means than a man in the moon. They don't know what saved means. You're saved by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said. Mm-hmm. And an inwardly man is renewed day by day. And Jesus said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, well, you can't tell me God didn't save me from all my sins. God never saved you from a sin you ever committed and never will save you from it. Save means to keep you from it. You weren't kept from it. All he's got to do is forgive you.
Yeah,
and where am I going to save somebody if they haul off and shoot my dog and kill him? I can't save him killing a dog. I can forgive him for it. That's what he'll do for you. He's not going to save you from the sins you commit. He saves you from the sins you don't commit. He keeps you from them.
Right.
He's a savior from life unto life and death unto death. And he shall save who? His people from their sins. Mm-hmm. He shall keep his people from their sins. Amen. Now, it wasn't through the death of Jesus that did all this. It was through his resurrection brought this to us.
Amen.
Now, if he had stayed in a tomb, this wouldn't have come about.
Amen.
He had to sign this new covenant with his own blood.
Right.
And the life of that, it's the life that was in him. His life is in us. It was in him. If you don't have the same life he did, then you don't belong to him.
Amen.
The same spirit was in him must dwell in you. If it doesn't, then you're dead.
Dead while you live.
You can be a preacher and you'll be dead. You can be a choir leader and be dead. You can be a member of their organization and be dead. The only way you're going to get life is the Spirit, because the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And Jesus, before he left, prayed that they might have life, his followers might have life. You know what he said? He said, he's with you and shall be in you. Well, you don't have life until he comes in. I'll tell you that right now. Life is with you, but it's not in you. The life of God can get on the individual, make them happy, they can shout and praise God, and then not have it inside. It's when he comes in. And when he comes in, he speaks. You know, I followed a minister one time, and he laid hands on a bunch of people, and he had been Pentecostal, but he got too big for Pentecost. And he laid hands on a great number of people and told them they all had the Holy Spirit. So I took over after he left. I got them all I could to get in the line. I'm going to lay hands on to them. First thing I'm going to do is cast that spirit out.
Amen.
A deaf and dumb spirit, you need to declare him.
That's right.
That's right. A spirit doesn't talk to a dumb spirit.
That's right.
That's the type Jesus cast
that's
out.
Right.
And before I could get them to come, let's cast that one out, they left. They took up their pillars and left. Now, sir, when he is come,
he will testify.
And you'll bear witness. No need for you to say, if you got a spirit so lazy and he can't talk and testify, I wouldn't tell on him.
No.
If you got a Holy Ghost that won't talk, don't tell on him.
No.
They didn't tell on himself, and you bear witness to him.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Hallelujah. That's time for you to bear witness to him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Jesus talked to us. You know what his doctrine was? He said, I don't have one.
Oh, glory.
Mine belongs to him. I have his doctrine. If you get his doctrine, here's the doctrine you're going to have. The only doctrine he has is explaining what he's doing.
That's right.
You get up, shout, and speak in tongues, and people come in there and marvel and say you're all drunk or something. Well, that's the time you need the doctrine. The doctrine is in, and when he has come, he'll testify, and I'll bear witness, and you're bearing witness.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's wonderful to be here today. I love it this way. I love it because it's so hated.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think so much of it. I think so much of every one of you because you are too.
Yeah, amen.
You can't even stay around it, be around it without getting the mark. Paul said, mark them that cause division among you contrary to the doctrine.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mark then that cause divisions contrary to the doctrine.
That's right.
I'm glad of two things in my life that I'll never forget, and I never will repent for, never have, as near death as I've been. One was receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. I was in the Baptist seminary that time, and a whole class came on me to denounce it and come back to school. I said, not for the whole world. And today it's brighter than it was that time then. I was back in my early 20s at that time. It's brighter now than it was then. And the second thing that I'll never repent for, trust me if you will, that was the revelation I got from God that a man wasn't born again to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in another tongue. That was revealed to me. And I never backed on that. I don't aim to. I'm going to meet the Lord with that testimony. I'm going to meet Him with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I know if He dwells in me when I'm put in the ground, I'm coming up.
It was the lie He told you, didn't it?
That's right. If he that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He will also quicken, Revised Version said, make you come back alive.
Yes, mm-hmm. Amen.
And if you go in a tomb without it, you will stay there. Gable's horn won't disturb you in the least. You got 1,000 years after I go off with the Lord and having a good time in the marriage supper and eat all that cake Brother Frank was talking about. Then you have 1,000 years before I see you anymore. May God help you. That today is a day now to put in for this salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a helmet you put on, and it's the brightest hope that you'll ever have. And the hope that's in you, somebody said, we all got hope of being saved. No, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
No, everybody has
hope of being
saved. Christ in you.
Christ in you is the hope of being saved, the hope of salvation, the hope of glory. And if you got that in there, shine it. Let it shine.
Lord.
All you got to do is get out in the way.
Yes,
don't get in front of it. Just get out of the way and let Him live it and shine it, because you can't live it. You can't live this life to save yourself unless it comes as a creation in you. God has to create in you a desire to do it. And when that desire leaves, you're gone, gone. No matter how holy you think you are, how much in affirmative or how strong you are, it's not worth that. The very minute that desire, that want to, goes away. And when that comes in, that's the easiest thing in the world to live by. And when you feel that desire for truth and for clean living, when that starts getting down, you better get on your knees and stay there until that's renewed and kindled again. Then you get up and it's easy to do it. Those say it's hard, they're not doing it. That's why it's hard. It's not hard. It's hard to try when you don't have the desire. It's time like use a phone and the man's taking the phone away. Talk to the walls. And I'm going to say one thing, and I'm going to leave it with you. If your communion with God today is off, and you're not having a prayer line, you're not having a daily communion with God, and you're not having a place to meet God, in spirit, every day, you're not going to live right now.
That's it.
Jesus,
you're going to fail just as sure as you're sitting here today.
But
you can't keep that line in pew. Have that certain place, glory to God, to meet God, Jesus, without hitting a high place. When I come in a post office in the morning and come back to my desk, first thing I do, everybody's gone. I walk down that hall and throw my hands up and thank God. For another day. And then we have a communion, and then I go to work. I know when I fail God, that communion is lost. I lost that communion when I failed God. And I'll fail God again if I lose this communion. But as long as that's there, you can't.
No,
glory
to God.
I wonder if there's anybody here today. You're not satisfied with just like it is. And you want that fire kindled. And you want it to be coming. That's His righteousness. Your righteousness is one thing, and God's righteousness is something else. His righteousness is created a desire in you to do His will, like David prayed.
Amen.
Create the right spirit and the right desire that I will. And you know, you don't need too much credit for doing right then.
Right.
You don't need too much. Just respect.
I want God to do something for me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yes.
Anybody else in here today? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yes.
If you got your communion established, and you know that you and God are on one accord, I want you to come and come right here close to me and help me lay hands on somebody that says maybe they're not just like that. Oh, shout that I see. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.